So I thought, as an experience, as an experiment this night, I would like to have a very, very brief discussion, I hope not more than 1 hour, about some salt of sodium. If you are interested in this issue, if you will take part of the course, I will send you the cases and some other material. Let's say that the talking of this night will be pretty informal, because this is just an experiment, this is just an introduction to make you experience how this kind of work could work. Of course, please, I don't think at all that this instrument, that the tool of those web conferences is better or can substitute a face-to-face relationship, which I do prefer much more. I think that if we consider this experience some in addition to what we can commonly do, something useful, something very practical, because it is inexpensive and it can allow us to have a talk remaining in our house at the end of the day once a month, we can understand that there are many lacking stuff in this kind of experience, but there is an advantage which is not that bad. Okay, let's start to talk about this little group of substances, which is not little at all at the end, because you know that the main paradigm of this group of substances is the very, 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 very famous Natrum Muriaticum, the salt from the sea. Even if in this group there are several other substances which are other salt of sodium, like Natrum Phosphoricum, like Natrum Sulfuricum, like Natrum Arsenicosum, like Natrum Iodatum, like Natrum Bromatum. So we can combine with this natrum several other possible salts, and we can decline this idea at least from a couple of perspectives. One is to watch those remedies from the perspective of the natrums. The other could be to watch those remedies from the perspective of the other part of the soul, of the salt, sorry. Even if, please, I want to be very clear on that. This is just, as you know, a didactical discussion, because each one of this substance is a very specific substance. So this is an artificial way of working, of thinking, of trying to study those substances in order to try to remember possibly the most important essential issues of that. The apparent contradiction of this work is that on one end, I am the first who says that each remedy has his own precise, specific individuality. Full stop. This has to be very clear. I think, on the other end, that it is extremely important for us to find out a good strategy to try to understand which kind of possible differential diagnosis we can try to focus and understand between those substances. So in the specific case of certain kind of salts, I think it's pretty evident, obvious, even from a logical perspective, that we could have a good reason to say that probably, even homeopathically speaking, there should be a resemblance between certain substances that are coming from the same kind of substance, from the same kind of main salt, which is a salt of sodium. Of course, this could be a very speculative idea, because we assume that it could be like this. And I think that in every science, it makes sense to make hypotheses. Of course, those hypotheses, in my little opinion, must be proved with a good clinical experience. Okay, so what I'm telling you is not coming from a speculation. There is a possible speculation, which means let's try to consider if this hypothesis of having a common perspective to study these remedies makes sense. And then, of course, what is not a speculation, is the clinical experience of cases with a long last follow-up that should try to support, to confirm and disconfirm certain hypotheses from the very beginning. So first of all, why probably those substances entered in our materia medica? The first entrance was natrum muriaticum, of course, you know that from the history of our materia medica. And it is interesting that this natrum muriaticum, that you know is the salt of the sea, is called by us by mistake natrum muriaticum. Why? Because it is true that in this substance we do have natrum and we do have chlorum, we do have sodium and we do have chlorum. This is true. But those are just the main components. Natrum muriaticum is not just these two elements. Being the salt of the sea, in this remedy, in this substance, we have the entire periodic table. You shouldn't forget this. In natrum muriaticum, there are even little traces of gold, even little traces of silver, even little traces of mercury and whatever. Because you know that whatever is in the sky, whatever is in the universe, is constantly falling into the sea of the ocean. And this salt, which is coming from there, is containing all of those substances. So it's a marvelous substance, natrum muriaticum, which is mainly containing this element, natrum and muriaticum, but at the meantime is a fantastic composé of practically all the entire periodic table. Together with this, there is another interesting observation, if we are talking about the natrums, which is the issue that together with this remedy, we have in our materia medica another interesting remedy, whose name is aqua marina, which is not the salt, but it is the entire water coming from the ocean. This is interesting because theoretically speaking, those remedies should have to do something in common, or to be more precise, a lot in common, which is true on one end and is not true on another, because we will talk about this later on, and in my opinion, there are some substantial differences that we should clarify in our mind in order to say what is common to natrums, what is common between natrum and aqua marina, and what is specific of natrum muriaticum versus aqua marina and other salts of natrum. So this salt was used in our old materia medica, in our old traditional medicine, in our old pharmacology. It was used in alchemy as a very, very powerful substance for many things. It was used with water. It was used added to several other compounds. It was used with honey, for example. I don't know if you remember that we have a beautiful remedy, which is Mel cum salis in our materia medica, which is the honey combined with the salt, which was an old alchemical remedy, which became common in its use, even in traditional medicine. And it was a common, even if extremely useful substance, used symptomatically to treat metritis, to treat, they say successfully, inflammation of the wombs, of the sphinx, of the uterus. The main reason to use this substance, even in a very low potency, was whenever an infection, for example, after a very complicated delivery. You know that until not so many years ago, women and even babies, but mostly women, could die for those kind of infection. And a very common substance to try to treat, they say successfully, this kind of problem was to combine the honey, mel, with salt, which is natrum muriaticum. So there were many, many uses of that. One day it entered into our use in homeopathic medicine, and it became a very interesting and powerful substance. So first of all, let's try to give a look to what we have in our clinical experiences, in our literature, whenever we talk about this kind of salt of sodium, generally speaking. This is interesting because more or less, if you study the distribution of symptoms of the most, of the majority of the entire salts of natrum, so not only natrum muriaticum, but natrums generally speaking, you can see that there are certain areas of the repertory which are very clearly covered by this kind of substances, and others which are not that important at all. What I mean with that? For example, if you like to consider, as I do, the presence of symptoms together with the absence of symptoms, you can easily see that the most of them, they seem to produce a very little amount of symptoms on prostate gland, very little amount of symptoms on kidneys, even if there is a consistent amount of symptom on the bladder. It is interesting that, generally speaking, the most of them, they don't produce so many interesting symptoms in speech and voice, not so much in respiration, but generally speaking, you have a huge amount of symptoms in the digestive tract. From that perspective, it seems very clearly that natrum sulfuricum is the most interesting one. It seems very clearly that if you study the symptoms on the respiratory tract, natrum arsenicosum seems to be the most interesting one. But generally speaking, this is what we can see for those substances in a wider way. There is another interesting aspect that we can consider about those natrums. Usually, the so-called mind symptoms are not as prominent as the somatic symptoms of this remedy. And this is true not only for natrum muriaticum, that in some way is considered correctly or not correctly, we will see this later, a kind of very reserved kind of patient, but for the most of those remedies, we can see a lot of symptoms affecting the body, more precisely the corpus, which is different, because with body we mean the physical body, with corpus we mean how the body is translating in a more specific way the sufferance which is crossing in some way our psyche, our psyche, with our body, with our physique, is a kind of media of the two, of the mind and the physical body. Well, you know, with body we mean the body of all human beings, the body of the anthropos, the body of Homo sapiens, while when we're talking of the corpus, we are talking of the specific way of suffering of the specific body of this patient, or in this case, because we are talking about natrums, we are talking about the specific way of the translation of the body symptomatology in the corpus symptomatology of our specific natrum salts. So if you give a look to this, you can see how much there is a wide distribution of symptoms affecting the entire corpus of natrum muriaticum. This is, in my opinion, extremely interesting because this is telling us, as it happens not only for all the polycrest, that those substances, they have a very wide range of symptoms, more or less all over the body. It's like when you talk about certain kind of very poisonous substances, where you don't see specific symptoms only in certain sections of the repertory, but you see a kind of very systemic way of suffering. Again, from that perspective, it is extremely interesting, in my opinion, how clearly more or less all of those salts of natrum are so typically affecting the skin, which is a tissue, which is the kind of periphery, which is the media between ourselves and the external world, which is a specific kind of tissue, and in the meantime, something which is covering us from the very top of our head, of course, to the very end of our toes. So it is a tissue, it's a specific tissue, which is in some way covering all our system. And this is very precisely, specifically affected by the most of those salt of sodium. What does it mean, this, in my opinion? It means that, for example, if we have to do with a child who is recurrently sick, if the most of the symptoms of this child are clearly affecting the skin, it's much more possible that we could consider a salt of sodium. Much more if we are talking about an adult, even much more if we are talking about an old person. Because if we're going to think about a possible constitutional prescription, not just something very symptomatical, even if sometimes useful anyway, if in the history, in the clinical history, if in the pattern of the strategy of reaction of this system, the skin was more or less never an issue, very seldom you can think that this can be a very clear case of a possible natrum salt, in my opinion. If so, clearly, mostly when we're talking about very important and very well-known substances. Why I say this? If we could talk about salt of cadmium, or salt of boron, or whatever you want, I mean substances which are not so well known in our materia medica, it could make sense to say, give a look, listen, this area of the repertory is not that much covered by this remedy. Probably, possibly, because this remedy is not so well known. But if we are talking about the salt of natrums, there are probably even too many symptoms for those substances, for those remedies. The problem for us, mainly when we are talking about natrum muriaticum, natrum sulfuricum, natrum carbonicum, the problem is to take off what is redundant and trying to focus on what is really specific. So it means that if you study the distribution of symptoms in the repertory for a very large remedy, and in this specific case, certain area of the repertory are not covered, it means that very probably this area is lacking, is a lack of interest for this remedy. For these remedies also, not only for natrum muriaticum. It means that very probably it is characteristic to produce symptoms in many other areas of the body. It's not typical at all to affect precisely the kidney. So this is important, again, because if in our previous history of our patient, something affecting the kidney was an issue, and this patient recurrently produces symptoms in this way, and we are thinking about a possible salt of natrum, any natrum, we should be cautious. We should ask to ourselves, how is it possible that so many homeopaths in the world were so seldom able to prescribe successfully a salt of natrum for such a kind of pathology? Okay, why? I should be probably one of the very few in the world. It's very possible that I'm very intelligent. It's very possible that I'm making a mistake. Okay. So very generally speaking, my first suggestion is to try to give a reading of the distributions of symptoms of those remedies in our materia medica. So I repeat, which area we should consider first? Mainly, in my opinion, the skin. Then we have to consider several symptoms affecting the digestive tract, which is very important for this remedies. Then it is extremely interesting how much the sensorium of those remedies is that important. Why I say this? Because if you give a look to the organ of sense, like the eyes, the ears, the nose, you can see that all those areas, the mouth, the taste, are severely affected, commonly affected. Another very interesting area is the throat. All the symptoms of this part of the body seems to be something where more or less all of those natriums are specifically interesting in producing and manifesting a specific kind of symptomatology. This is for the very beginning. Okay. While talking about the sense, the perceptions of these remedies, you can clearly see that the only one who is producing a decent amount of symptoms in the issue of hearing is only natrium carbonicum. If you are talking about the sense of smell, the only one who is perceiving a lot of symptoms in this area is more or less only natrium muriaticum. So what could be a possible suggestion of this observation? Again, if the most of the salt of natrium don't produce so many symptoms on the smell, and if only natrium muriaticum does produce symptoms on the smell, probably it means that this smell kind of symptomatology is much more interesting for the muriaticums and not for the natriums. It is more or less the same if we are talking about the symptoms affecting the hearing. If the most of the salt of natrium don't produce so many interesting symptoms in the hearing function and only natrium carbonicum, does, probably this could mean that other carbonicum salts are more interesting for that, and this is not an issue for the salt of natrium. Okay, this is a general kind of idea from the clinical perspective. I don't want to talk about that too much, otherwise we lose too much time. It's just a possible hint to give you, if you like this kind of possible approach, in a very, very wide and general sense. Let's try to describe something that, in my opinion, is known for natrium muriaticum, and I don't think does belong at all only to natrium muriaticum, but is a general issue for the salts of natrium. You know how much, by definition, the idea of being that reserved, of being a kind of deep person, of being someone who has a kind of romantic, melancholic approach to life, seems to be a kind of recurrent idea for the most of those salt of natrium. My personal understanding, going in depth in this direction, is something pretty clear. There is a kind of resentment, there is a kind of grief, there is a kind of sorrow, there is a kind of melancholy, there is a kind of sadness, which is in some way incurable for the most of those natriums. At the end, if you try to dig into the life, into the deep emotions of those people, you see that most of them are seeking for being understood. Commonly, a salt of sodium is complaining about the idea that people around me, they don't understand myself as I would like to. This is very important, because very often, in the meantime, it is extremely interesting to observe how much those people do very little in order to be understood. How much, eventually, what they do is exactly in the direction of creating problems to be understood. They do whatever is possible in order to create obstacles, to hide several parts of themselves, because what is important for them is if you are able to move forward, to watch over, to cross this kind of wall that they create very on purpose, in order to see whatever is beyond that. So the idea of showing something not clear and seeking for your clear intention of moving forward, of moving behind, of moving beyond, of moving in the direction of crossing this wall is essential for Natrum Muriaticum, as it is essential for the most of those souls of Natrum, because they want to be seen, they want to be recognized for who they are, not for what they appear. They want to be seen for who I am. The very important grief and sorrow, which I was mentioning before, is in the direction of considering that in some way they were, metaphorically speaking, unable to overcome the severe grief of being separated by their mom. I'm not saying this in a kind of psychoanalytical way, please. I want to be understood for what I mean. When I say mom, I mean mainly the mother function, which usually is your real female mom. Not necessarily that, of course. What is the issue? Is that Natrums, generally speaking, they really over-idealize what is the meaning of a relationship. Usually, since they are a child, they have very few and extremely important, because it's not that easy to move so in depth with everybody. So there is a very precise, specific selection of the only few people with which I can try to create a very good and deep relationship. The issue is that even with my mom, I was not able to really experiment, to really make the experience of such a depth which I need. It is in some way as if they were separated by this mom, which was a person with a level of intimacy that is not possible to have with anybody else in the world. And if with my mom it was not possible to be understood, to be recognized, to be seen, to be in contact with such a level of depth which I need, try to imagine how difficult it could be with anybody else in the world. In the case of my mom, I was in the womb of this person. I was so clothed, I was nourished, I was fed by her breast, and all the very beautiful things that you know in this kind of very unique relationship, which you can have only with the female and only with this female in your life. There is nobody else. So try to imagine that if this kind of closeness, intimacy, contact was that important for you, and in the meantime, it was not able to reach the depth of your heart, the depth of your soul, try to imagine that all the kind of possible relationship for a Natrum soul start from that point. This is my ideal. And even this ideal did not work as I wanted. So what they try to do, and this is the main reason why it is more or less impossible to be understood, to be in contact as I want. If this is my idea, if this is the model of a relationship, try to imagine how easy, how extremely difficult it could be to create any other kind of relationship which could be that satisfactory, that in-depth, that nourishing, so important in your life. So in my understanding, the sense of the romanticism, the sense of the sadness, the sense of the seeking for something very deep, this kind of misanthropy, this idea that at the end is not that easy, that possible to be understood, that I try and retry, but at the end I will be always alone. It is so difficult to create such a quality of relationship. This is the main source in my understanding of the sense of sadness, of melancholy, of difficulty in creating relationships, which more or less you can recognize, in my opinion, in every sort of natrum. Usually, when you see a child of natrum, you have the impression of somebody who is prematurely grown. When you have to do with an adolescent of natrum, any kind of natrum I'm talking, not just natrum uriaticum, you have to do with a person who is giving you the impression of someone who is matured early, again in a premature way. He's a boy, he's a girl, who is a special depth, he's not a common person, he's not seeking for phosphoric kind of relationship. Usually, in some way, if you like a deep connect with your patient, more or less is a pleasure if you are able to hook one of those patients, and if they feel understood, and if they feel more precisely that you are interested in exploring a relationship with them. Because usually they are able to satisfy you. They are usually are trustful patients with a sense of fidelity, long-lasting, and they want to check how seriously you can try to enter and to make a trip in their universe. It's really a pleasure for them to share their intimacy. And there is a kind of gain, there is a kind of dance with those people where they try to move in different directions during the consultation to test, to check you if you're really interested to describe and to understand who they are. If this is not so evident, in my opinion, in a case where I'm going to prescribe, where my repertorization is suggesting a possible, any possible salt of natrum, my attitude is not to consider a salt of natrum, because I consider this aspect essential, fundamental. If this is missing, I repeat, for me this is not a clear salt of natrum at all, of a natrum salt in a general sense. There are some other aspects of this intimacy that, in my opinion, are extremely common. If you study, for example, the delusions, the dreams, the idealization of those remedies, you can see how important, for example, is in those cases the theme, the presence, the symbol, the gigantic symbol of a fire. What I mean with that? Of course, it's not even possible to call fire a symbol, a metaphor. It's one of the most gigantic archetypes of human being all over the world, from the very north to the very south. And every culture in the history of humankind said a lot and had very different kind of relationship with fire. And when you say fire, it's like when you say water. It could be a sea, it could be a forest on flame, it could be a firing huge situation, a house which is on fire, a wood, a forest which is on fire, or it could be a nice fireplace. These energy are completely, totally different. This fire, in my opinion, is another essential issue that I'm seeking in my natrum cases. What I mean with that? More or less, this element is extremely present, very clear in the life of those patients. Something which is expressing their passion for life, their passion for intimacy, something which is really their way of living inside. Together with another very interesting idea, which is how much this fire is a kind of intimacy. It's a kind of very exquisite, very reserved, very closed, very mild kind of environment. So whenever you hear a patient talking about fire, if it is a distraction, if it is something destroying everything, if it is something wild, if it is something wild, if it is something gigantic, this is not the fire of an atom salt. It could be a salt of carbo, carbo vegetabilis, carbo animalis. It could be a salt of arsenicum. It could be any other kind of burning, but it's not the intimate feeling of the fireplace of an atom salt. Usually the sense of fire for those people is to be together, just me and you, very probably, in a kind of very tender and intimate relationship, close to something which is in some way expressing the sense of our passion in some way. Again, it is extremely interesting how many recognize the importance of the relationship with music and these remedies, which is not only important for natrum carbonicum, even if this is in the repertory, because most of them, they are really strongly passionate for that. And again, when we say music, it could mean absolutely nothing in the repertory. The music of Tarantula is not the same music of Aurum, it's not the same music of natrum carbonicum. Again, it's an intimate relationship. It's not a symphony. It's not Wagner. It's not heavy metal. It's not Tarantella. It's something private, little, romantic, melancholic, touching your soul, giving you, again, the experience of this kind of inner harmony and inner connection. It is something more in the direction of something that can be played in your house, in a little room, something that can be shared in depth with another person. It's not for having fun, it's not for having noise, it's not for dancing, and not for allowing your body to be that wild at all. This is not this kind of acting out. Again, it's a very intimate kind of relationship with music. Another important aspect is the oversensitivity of those people. Usually, the stamina of natrum salts, generally speaking, are very weak. You start from a person whose system, from the physical, from the body approach, is very seldom that strong. Usually, it is something pretty fragile, extremely sensitive, and to be sensitive, by definition, is not something that stout. And this sensitiveness is extended in many directions. It can be sensitive to the change of temperature, it can be sensitive to light, it can be sensitive to noises, it can be sensitive to touch, whatever in some way is diverted toward the sense of natrums, generally speaking, is more or less always an issue. And it is interesting because there is a kind of opposite relationship with this. If you see a more or less compensated case of an atom, generally speaking, they can allow themselves to be that sensitive. And for them, it's a pleasure to use this sensitiveness. While when you're moving toward a more decompensated case of an atom salt, you find out a lot of symptoms of a kind of anesthesia, of someone who looks pretty insensitive, where this over-defensive mechanism, which is the result of having received so many injury, so many wounds to their intimate part, is in some way protecting this system, creating a kind of barrier between them and the rest of the world. This is another very important characteristic issue, in my opinion, for the most of those natrum salts. Because this kind of loneliness this kind of sadness, this kind of retirement, this kind of moving inward into yourself, this kind of difficult connection with the others and with the rest of the world, is one of the most common decompensation of those cases. First of all, the loss, the death of important people, for them is a disaster. Try to imagine if it is so hard, so unique, so difficult to really create only few and extremely important relationship, how severe could be a loss for an atom. Beyond that, there is a specific sensitiveness for an atom soul to whatever is a loss, because in some way they are the victim of a kind of original loss, which was this primordial, primary disconnection, this cut of the umbilical cords with the mom. And whenever they have to live again the same kind of sensation, the same kind of experience, the same kind of disconnection from a relationship which is that important, this is a severe issue for an atom soul. It's like, again, putting salt on an injury which is still open. So again, if you don't see this kind of oversensitiveness, which is not only expressed on their corpus, on their physical body, but in their emotions as well, very seldom, I think, you can consider a decent chronic prescription of what we could consider a constitutional case of a good salt of sodium. Again, talking about the decompensation of those cases, very often the direction is somebody who is closing into himself with a very misanthropic kind of attitude, very often with a very apathetic attitude, not with what is a real depression, because for a real depression, using the proper term of what is the meaning of this very precise clinical situation, a real depression is a disinvestment, is not trusting anymore that living is an interesting issue, is important, is something spicy. This is not the case of Natrum. The case of Natrum is more, I repeat, a sadness that very often is misunderstood in terms of depression. Is a real sadness, is the sadness of recognizing that despite all the efforts of your life, you are still alone. That in the most important moment of your existence, you are still alone. That whenever you have to do something which is really meaningful in your life, you are alone. It's not possible to find out the real connection of somebody that could be really close to you and help you as you need. So it's the awareness of this loneliness, of this profound, primordial, and long-lasting kind of loneliness, and again this idea that this loneliness is impossible in some way to be cured. In some way they could give with this idea, and it is extremely interesting what is the strategy of those remedies, because on one end it's true, they are that lonely, that they suffer that much for this idea of not being able to be understood. But in the meantime, you see that the common strategy of those people is to do whatever in order to remain alone. Because, I repeat, the only relationship which really means something are very few, very precise, very specific one, and even with those people, it's not that easy to go so deep as I want to. So try now to imagine something which could be more specific for each one of this kind of sort. And again, we can start pronatum muriaticum, which is the typical paradigm of this group of substances. Again, what is important to define from the clinical perspective of natrum muriaticum is what we can and we cannot easily find in our repertory. So whenever, for example, there is a lack of symptoms affecting the hearing perception, this is very common for natrum muriaticum. Natrum muriaticum usually does not use this kind of specific sensitiveness as much as other remedies. Another interesting missing area of symptomatology is whatever, as I said before, is affecting the kidney and the prostaglandin male. It is interesting how little amount of symptoms for natrum muriaticum you have about the voice of natrum muriaticum, the speech of natrum muriaticum, despite the common kind of infection in the throat. This is very interesting because you know how many remedies commonly, like Apis, for example, can produce symptoms in this area of the body and in the meantime affecting as well the activity, the possibility of talking. While usually the instrument of talking, the tool of talking, the ability of talking, the precocious attitude to be extremely precise in the use of words, to be extremely careful in seeking the right one, in finding out the precise words which are expressing your emotions, is very characteristic for natrum salts, mostly for natrum muriaticum, who is really giving a lot of weight of importance to whatever kind of words you are using for expressing something. Again, in terms of symptoms, of the distribution of symptoms, is extremely interesting how many of those are affecting the skin and how commonly those symptoms are very often related to digestive problems, which commonly in natrum muriaticum you find out prematurely. In this direction, even if now it's a fashion to talk about symptoms produced by the overconsume of wheat, in my experience, natrum muriaticum is one of the most interesting remedy where this problem is that severe. It's one of the most interesting remedy where the issue of having troubles with wheat and different kind of cereals is produced from the very beginning. It is interesting, again, you will see this more in natrum carbonicum, how much usually the digestive tract of this remedy and some other natrum salts too is so sensitive, so easily affected, so easily producing symptoms. What is more important and really characteristic of natrum muriaticum, in my opinion, is this muriaticum aspect, is the part of the salt which is affecting the muriaticum side, which is the specific kind of resentment, the specific kind of anger, the specific kind of producing relationship, which are mostly moving in the direction of breaking, of closing, of not interfering. Again, natrum muriaticum, as I said before, is not only natrum and chlorum. Mostly in natrum muriaticum, there are several allergens, because those salts, those substances, are mainly present in our planet in the seawater. So, if it is interesting to try to define the main differences between natrum muriaticum and natrum phosphoricum, and natrum carbonicum, and natrum sulfuricum, and natrum whatever, you should Remember that the differences between natrum muriaticum, natrum bromatum, and natrum iodatum are not that clear, because natrum muriaticum itself contains a lot of halogen, and because this typical halogen quality of natrum muriaticum is a quality of halogens in general, and the other halogens, as the salt of iodum, as the salt of bromium, are really resembling a lot natrum muriaticum. So, from that perspective, what should help us to recognize natrum muriaticum, I repeat, is this specific halogen attitude. You know that the most of those halogens were used, mostly chlorum, as a disinfectant, as a something which is a kind of antibiotic, because it's killing a lot of bacteria. It's a substance that we use against different forms of life. It's a poison. This kind of metaphor can be used in a figurative way to try to understand which kind of relationship does create, does produce, and does destroy natrum muriaticum. Natrum muriaticum, again, has to give him the clear experience, has to create, has to live with this clear experience that it's impossible to have deep relationship in life. And what they do is to create every possible condition to make the relationship not working. They complain about the issue that they were left. They complain about the issue that they choose the always the wrong man, always the wrong woman, always the wrong relationship, always the wrong boss. But the issue is their specific ability of choosing people with which is extremely difficult for them to cope through, and to check and to test and to do whatever is possible to be done in order to make this relationship always fighting, always problematic, always trying to check how this person is daily able to recognize who I am, to understand me, to see me beyond the walls that I'm creating within. Those are, in my opinion, the most important issue that you should recognize in a muriaticum sort. If you're talking about the iodum salt of natrum, so natrum iodatum, you can find out other interesting elements. Again, in my opinion, even more severe from the perspective of the relationship. What I mean with that? Iodum too is another typical antibiotic. Think about that as chlorum, we use iodum a lot as a disinfectant, as a kill of bacteria, as a kill of life in our environment. You know how much the salt of muriaticum, the salt of bromium, the salt of iodum are so very well known in our Materia Medica for the typical tendency of producing symptoms on our lymphatic system, on activating, I would say over-activating our response from that perspective, on our activating our lymphatic and immune system to overreact, which is like to say, from another perspective, that in the case of those allergens, there is an over-defensive strategy, an over-defensive strategy of a very sensitive system. In the case of iodum, you will see that the attitude of closing themselves to the rest of the world, the attitude of destroying relationships, the attitude of not entering in relationships, the attitude of showing how independent they are is extremely important and very characteristic. The issue is that those souls, at the end, are not really solitary people. They are not really able to stay on their own. They are not like conifers. They are not like Tuya. They are not like Sabina. They are not like Taxus. The common attitude of those people is that they do need few other people, very often a partner, not more than this, or another few friends, in order to show them that you don't need those. Seems to be a kind of paradox, but what is important is to say, you know, we have a very close relationship, I can show you that I really don't need you to survive. It's important for me to stay in the same house and to demonstrate to myself, to demonstrate to you that I can survive on my own, even without you, even without this deep, strong, important connection. So an issue that in my opinion is very easy to recognize whenever you would like to prescribe a iodum salt, mostly in the case of natrum iodatum, how strongly they underline this sense of being independent in a relationship. It's a kind of paradox where you could say that they are depending, over-depending, on the issue of demonstrating how independent they are. This is their dependency. It's a dependency of relationship which are important for them to demonstrate how independent they are, how much they can live without. And this is interesting also from the somatic perspective, because for example, in the case of salt of iodum, mostly when they are really decompensated, you find out a lot of symptoms which are affecting the ability of perceiving. A very typical one is again benumbing their ears, but commonly benumbing the senses, the over senses of iodum salts is extremely important. Try to imagine the typical symptomatology of a kind of hypertrophy of adenoids, where you don't smell, when you lose your sense of taste, where you lose your sense of hearing, is a kind of benumbing your perceptions, is a kind of not reacting to the world around you, even if people are offering something to eat, offering something to smell, and offering something to hear. This is the very most common decompensation of the iodum salts. In the case of the bromium salts of natrum, natrum bromatum, it is interesting to observe another aspect which is pretty common in bromium salts, which is something a little bit different from the other natrums. Because on one end, in the case of natrums, we can see how strongly is their needing for living a strong relationship with their mother function, and how little is commonly their relationship with their father functions. This is extremely important, because whenever we underline the huge importance of a certain function, in this case the female motherish one, we have to consider also the very little importance of the father function, more or less in all the salts of natrum. In the specific case of natrum bromatum, is a little bit different, because natrum bromatum is someone which is more diverted toward the image of their father. Is someone where the idea of who is my father is extremely important. And again, they tend more to over-idealize their father function. They tend more to say, this man, this idea, this image, this function of a father, for me, it's just unreachable. It's impossible to become like this person. It's impossible to reach this quality of life. It's impossible to reach this quality of understanding. It's impossible to reach this quality of power. The most that I can do is to try to resemble a little bit. The most that I can do is to live under the shade of this father, is try to copy is trying to appear as if, but it's clear that my poor sense of myself, my gigantic insecurity, will never allow me to be able to look like he was. So it is interesting because in the specific case of natrum bromatum, there is an over-idealization of this function. It is interesting how much bromium salts in general, beyond the issue of being used again like the other halogen in order to erase microorganisms, I was saying it's so interesting how much all those bromine salts were used in some way to deeply interfere with the male sexual functions, reducing this activity, inhibiting this activity, cutting off this activity. And here we see that this sense of being castrated, this sense of being unable to be a man, of using your father function, your male function, more or less in all the bromine salts is in some way severely affected. So this part is extremely common in those natrum bromatum salts. It's very, very evident if you want to differentiate a typical case of natrum bromatum, this kind of specific inhibition. Talking about some other salts, for example, natrum carbonicum, which is, you know, a big salt of natrum, very well known. What we can recognize in this element. Another element that, in my opinion, is shareable with more or less all the carbonium salts of our Materia Medica. In saying this, I would like to be very clear. You know that there are some other books in our very recent literature where in some way there is an attempt to recognize something belonging to the carbons. I personally consider this perspective, in my opinion, a little bit too wide, because of course you know that chemically speaking, carbonium is present in so many substances in our world. So when we mention in the future, if you will take part to these conferences, whatever is resembling a carbonium, I mean all those substances where the carbonium is essential, is mainly present there as a substance, like carbo animalis, like carbo vegetabilis, like graphites, like adamas. So those are substances that in nature contains a lot, or mainly carbonium. Or all those other substances where the carbonated salt, is that evident. So whenever we consider natrum carbonicum, an important aspect of this substance, in my opinion, is a specific, clear sense of inability. It's a specific sense of weakness. It's a specific sense of feeling little, fragile, extremely vulnerable. But with the clear declaration of this. What I mean with that? If you consider the concept of seduction, very often we think that we can seduce using our sexy appeal, showing our beautiful muscle, it's not my case, or showing our beautiful breast, your fantastic lips, or all the typical erotic aspects of our body. This is true, but this is only one aspect of the several possibilities, to seduce other people. You can seduce people with your power. You can seduce people with your intelligence. You can seduce people with your charming. You can seduce people even inspiring them a sense of compassion. try to think how many of you could be compassionate when you see a little awful dog alone on the road, or when you see a cat which is abandoned and really ugly, but because of this ugliness, nobody's taking care of this poor animal, of this poor puppy. This is another way of seducing you. When a kind of dog is on the floor, showing my belly, my abdomen, saying, please, don't harm me, don't touch me, I'm here, I can do whatever you want, please protect me. This is another way of seducing you, of seducing the people which are sensitive to the idea that they can be a protector. This is one of the main important strategies, in my opinion, of the most of the Carbonicums, which means appearing fragile, appearing immature, appearing easily wounded, appearing submissive, appearing as someone who is seeking for protection, clearly demonstrating how poor I am, even how ugly I am. But despite this, I'm trying to seduce you as a kind of ugly puppy. So in Natrum Carbonicum, you find out a very oversensitive, very, very oversensitive kind of person. Despite Natrum Ureaticum, that can be pretty foxy, pretty smart, pretty deep, pretty able to use his anger, to manipulate even relationships in order to demonstrate to himself what he wants to do. In the case of Natrum Carbonicum, not by chance you have a lot of symptoms affecting the digestive tract from the very beginning. Not by chance Natrum Carbonicum is one of the most interesting remedies, as many Carbonicums, which is known for a lot of symptoms affecting their digestion, and mainly the relationship with milk, which is one of the very first, which is the very first element that we use to nourish ourselves, which is the first connection with our mom. So in the Carbonicums in general, in Calcare Carbonica, Cali Carbonicum, Natrum Carbonicum, you find out this problem of not being able to feed yourself. You find out this problem of difficulty in being fed and supported and being nourished from the very beginning of your life. You find out this kind of fragility of someone who has very little, poor, fragile, unhealthy stamina, who is not that strong from the very beginning. And the way they relate is to try to induce a sense of protection, is to try to induce in the other people around themselves the same idea of a poor person which is just seeking for protection, with the same other general issues that we have seen for the other salt of Natrum. So again, somatically speaking, the typical problems affecting the digestive tract seems to be extremely interesting, not only from the somatical perspective, but also from the metaphorical ones, because to feed and to nourish a Natrum Carbonicum case is extremely difficult. They are very fragile. They are extremely sensitive. More or less everything can harm and affect this poor Natrum Carbonicum, can create a problem to this extremely fragile kind of system. To fit into Natrum Carbonicum is extremely complicated, because they are so sensitive that they can handle and cope only with very precise little tiny things, and are not always the same. They can manipulate the relationship through that a lot, because what is important at the end is that you have to take care of me. You have constantly to adjust yourself to what I need. You have constantly to demonstrate me your protection, your attention. whatever I need in order to be fed in such a difficult kind of system, in such a difficult kind of situation. Moving to another one, again trying to find out the essences of these substances, could be natrium arsenicosum, which is again another very interesting salt of sodium. In this case too, we find out several symptoms affecting again the digestive tract, with many expulsive, ejecting, avoiding symptoms. The diarrheas, the marasma, the cachexy, the emaciation of natrium arsenicosum are really extreme, even much stronger than in natrium carbonicum. You should consider, coming back to the history of our materia medica, that in the past, even without the real provings of arsenicum salts, arsenicum as a substance was added, symptomatically speaking, to many other remedies like quininum arsenicosum, even, I repeat, without proving, because it was known that those arsenicum salts in low potency were extremely good in giving back energy, in stimulating our metabolism, our anabolism, to be more precise, so building up our energy and building up our flesh and giving back our weight and helping us. This was very evident. So in the case of natrium arsenicosum, there is an interesting aspect of this salt, which is so typical for the arsenicums, which is the impossibility of fasting, which is not a real paranoia, it's a kind of paranoic component of the personality of natrium arsenicosum, which is a kind of impossible situation. What I mean with that? On one hand, we have seen how important it is for more or less every natrium salt to be able to try at least to find out a kind of twin soul, to find out a kind of possible Gemini, to find out very few people in the world with which I could try to have a deep, deep connection and being understood and exchange my deep emotions. But the apparent, horrible, terrible contradiction is that in the salt of arsenicum, there is this kind of impossibility of trusting in the others, not in every other person, but specifically, mainly the very close people, the closest one. If you think about the typical fears, delusions of arsenicum salts, generally speaking, you find out that the tragedy of arsenicum is not the idea that your enemies are out of your house, they are inside your house, they are in your room. Your main enemies are the closest people. Your main enemies are in your family, in the people that want to stay very close to you. The main issue is that you cannot trust in them. You cannot feel secure, healthy, safe in your own house. Your house is not a symbol of security. It's the main problem of arsenicum salts. So try to imagine how apparently contradictory could be that. How problematic could be on one end seeking for such an intimacy, such a deep connection, together with the idea of this mistrust and the issue that you need a deep connection and in the meantime you cannot trust that much in this kind of possible intimacy with another person. What you can easily recognize in Natrum Arsenicosum is exactly this over-suspiciousness, which is again can be seen as something similar to Natrum Carbonicum, to Natrum Sulfuricum, in terms of all those symptoms affecting the digestive tract. But in the case of Natrum Arsenicosum, are much more expansive. The idea of the diarrhea, the idea of perspiration, the idea of losing weight, of losing fluids, of losing parts, essential parts, vital parts of your body, are essential for Natrum Arsenicosum. On one end, they need that. On the other, it's almost impossible to feed them. Whatever they try to allow to enter in their system can be poisonous, can affect them, can hurt them, can destroy them. This is one of the main issues. This is the tragedy. Is on one end, the push of seeking for a contact, and in the meantime, is the inability in trusting in that. So the tendency of destroying, of avoiding, to be more precise, any possible deep relationship, and seeking, and then when they're really decompensating, thinking that it's really impossible to find out a twin soul, to find out somebody which you can really be connected deeply with, for Natrum Arsenicosum is extremely, extremely evident. Some other essential for Natrum Sulfuricum. Again, in this remedy, you find out a lot of digestive tract symptomatology. This is true. But you know how much Natrum Sulfuricum is ameliorated, is improving by the elimination, is extremely the opposite of what you can see from that perspective in the case of Natrum Carbonicum and in the case of Natrum Arsenicosum. Natrum Arsenicosum and Natrum Carbonicum, they do suffer a lot for whatever they are losing, while in the case of Natrum Sulfuricum, it's a pleasure to push out something. It's a pleasant experience to be able to make experiences in the world, to share experiences in the world, even to do too many experiences in the world. From that perspective, it's really not that easy to recognize the Natrum part in Natrum Sulfuricum. Because there is another kind of apparent contradiction. If on one end, Natrums, generally speaking, they are seeking for something sensitive, very special, intimate, unique. In the case of sulfuric salts, you are seeking in a very horizontal way to make any kind of possible experience in this planet, any kind of possible experience with food, with people, with different kind of possibility, and even behaving as if you can allow any of those, with the typical kind of bombastic appearance and attitude of an healthy sulfur. So what you see in Natrum Sulfuricum commonly is someone who is behaving as if they could be able to do that. Is someone who knows pretty clearly that he cannot allow himself to eat that much, and they eat despite that, and they have a lot of problems. But for them to feel that they are vomiting, they are going so often to the toilet, it's a kind of testing that my body is working, that I'm able to eject, that I'm able to make experiences and to push them away and to get rid of those. It is interesting how commonly Natrum Sulfuricum is a very well-known remedy for injuries. This is true. In my opinion, it's even more interesting how commonly Natrum Sulfuricum patients are open to get injured, how commonly they produce to themselves injuries, mostly in children. Because if Natrum muriaticum, mostly natrum carbonicum, is extremely prudent. They don't want to destroy or to harm their very fragile and poor system. On the other end, natrum sulfuricum is the one who wants to show that he can do almost everything, but is not healthy, is not a stout, is not a strong system at all. And very often, because of this, is very open to produce a lot of injury to himself. And very often, he has a lot of problem in repairing and readjusting this for the poor stamina, for the poor system that usually natrum sulfuricum is. Very quickly, very briefly, I would like to say something essential about natrum phosphoricum. Natrum phosphoricum, in my opinion, is one of the most artistic of this group of remedies. Is one of the most sensitive, on one way, is one of the most attached to the idea of nature, to the idea of how wonderful is the world around you. In natrum phosphoricum, there is another kind of paradox. The paradox is that the phosphoric element, usually, is a kind of adolescent attitude. It's a kind of attitude of coping with the world around you, is the beginning of coping with the world around you. Like you have in adolescent people when they live in their house. It's a kind of attitude of experimenting the world, not from the very horizontal perspective that you can see in sulfur, not from the perspective of having pleasure in terms of something that basic, like in the case of sulfuric elements. It's more the idea of testing, of finding out your security through the others. Is the idea that you need a group of other people like you in order not to feel alone, as in many adolescents. Is not an adult kind of personality who is able to demonstrate his security, is someone not secure enough to be an adult and secure enough to try to leave his house. Again, for this reason, I say it's a kind of paradigm of adolescent. Is someone who would like to demonstrate to himself that I can leave my house and go to the world, but I can't do this by myself because this is too scary, so I need my friends. And I need to feel that I make friends with whoever is around me. The idea of friendship for phosphorus is apparently something sympathetic. Is the idea of dividing, sharing my anguish with the anguish of the other people. This is characteristic. So the paradox of natrum phosphoricum is the issue that on one end, natrum is seeking for very special, very intimate, very unique, very precise, very over-selected kind of relationships. While, in the meantime, the phosphoric element is pushing toward an opening of this. What you can see in natrum phosphoricum, again, is this typical artistic attitude of seeking for a very idealized connection, of seeking for a kind of beautiful, unreachable love, of seeking for a very deep connection with somebody, while in the meantime they are recurrently entering in one relationship after another, which is never able to feed them, which are never able to make them really becoming an adult. It's a kind of testing over testing over testing over testing, and then escaping from those kind of people because they never reach in one way their over idealization of whatever is a relationship. So in comparison to the other kind of natrums, which are selecting the relationship pretty precisely, in the case of natrum fostoricum, you find out someone which is over-testing and remaining more or less always unsatisfied because this relationship are not really touching his soul. And in some way, they have to demonstrate to themselves that they can stay on their own. Sorry, 1 second. I ask you really 1 second. I have to take something and I will be back in 30 seconds. Sorry. Sorry, there was my cat out of the window who wanted to enter in the house. I thought that he was lost because he was out of the house for several days and finally he came back and he was making noise on the window on my office. Sorry. So, we could mention something more, but I think for the moment it should be enough because we don't have time at the end to talk about all the possible sorts of natrum. I wanted to give you just few ideas, a few examples of what we could try to see in these directions. And if you are interested, my intention is to send you all those graphics. In some cases in English, at least some first consultations of those cases, in order to allow you to read something and to try to understand what I mean with my attempt to give you some essential elements. So at this point, I would like to make some questions to you. Is there anybody that would like to clarify something? I'm sorry, before this, I have to tell you something else. My intention in this possible work is to leave open at the end of every conference some space in order to answer to your questions. If there is something unclear, which I said, or if there is something which is something that you would like to clarify. But despite that, because it's not always that possible that at the real end of this presentation you could have completely clear what I mean and you had time to think about all those possible ideas, usually what I do with my friends in Italy is that every 3-4 sessions we have another open session, which is extra from our work, of just 1 hour, 1 hour, where I only answer to questions about all the work that we did until the beginning to that moment. Allowing you the possibility of thinking about what I said, of thinking about your experience, and saying, you know, do you mind to clarify this? I disagree with that, this is not my experience, and so on and so on and so on. Okay, so if anybody would like to ask something, to say something, to try to give even your contribution, you just have to raise your hand and I will give you the microphone and so you can talk. So, it's your time now. I hope it was not too annoying and or too boring what I told you until now. Please, is there anybody that would like to say something? Okay, let me give you the microphone. 1 second. Okay, Natalie, you can talk. Can you hear me?
Thank you. First of all, thank you very much. It is very interesting. I have a question. You said at the beginning about this intolerance to wheat grains, is it only for natrium muriaticum or of all the salts of natrium?
Good question. In my experience, I repeat, I'm a little bit not so happy to talk about this because, as I said at the beginning, my impression is that mostly in Italy, you know, that the great amount of our nutrition of our nutrients in Italy is with pasta and bread. So we really see a lot of real intolerance to that. And the main reason, to be precise, is not because the wheat is an issue, because we're eating in the south of Europe, most in Italy, good wheat, good bread and good pasta, even before the Romans. The real reason why nowadays we have so many people here so clearly affected by this kind of food is because of the awful quality of the wheat, which commonly is selected in an indecent way. You should know that the original wheat of the Romans had in his nucleus only three, four kind of chromosome. The wheat which they selected now, at least what is used not only in Italy, now has more than 17 chromosomes. And this is not a genetical alteration with other kind of piece of genes from other kind of vegetables or animals even. It's just a specific selection of this specific kind of nutrient. So after this little presentation, I don't want to waste too much time talking about this. But actually, in Italy, I can see many people which are really sensitive to that. Full stop. Beyond saying this, my experience is that with the salt of muriaticums, and natrum muriaticum is one of the clear examples of this, is extremely common to find out severe symptoms because of the use of wheat, of the poor, awful wheat, which is that common, at least in Italy now. Okay? So it was not so clearly about the salt of natrum, generally speaking. It was more about natrum muriaticum, more precisely, and about the specific kind of wheat that you can see nowadays. Am I clear, Natalie?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for your nice compliments. Anybody else? Okay. Let me try to give it to Peter. Okay, Peter, you can talk. You have the microphone.
Okay, how are they up here in the office? I mean, do they like to create an intimate contact with the therapist or not? Or they are closed?
I think, Peter, that this is a good question. Thank you for that. And I think that in my experience, what I saw during several supervisions with my friends here in Italy is that, of course, it depends on the therapist. I think it's evident that nobody of us, even the best homeopath in the world, even the best doctor, is able to have a good relationship with any patient. This is the main reason why it's so useful to have supervisions and to do a good work on each cell, our own, as a person and as a doctor. So beyond this obvious general introduction, I think that what is characteristic of the natrums in general is a clear attitude of checking which person they have in front of them. Let me say that usually, generally speaking, a good homeopath who is interested in seeking what we consider a constitutional remedy, a good homeopath who is interested in classical homeopathy should be a person who is interested in understanding his patients and to try to go in depth. So usually, in my experience, if on one end, let's say that the opposite of natrums is the family of the kali, of the salt of potassium, which very seldom they like homeopathic doctors because they are too unconventional for them, In the case of the neutrons, generally speaking, it is exactly the opposite. I think that if when they test you, if when they try to see if you are really a good doctor who is interested in them as a person, if they have this feeling, in my experience, neutrons, generally speaking, are the most interesting, deep, talking, nice, and fedele, we say in Italian, patients that you can find out in our practice. It's a pleasure to work with them. Usually they are patients that you don't last, that you don't leave, that they don't leave you so easily. But of course, you have to be able to attend their standards, which are pretty high. But very probably it's not your case, I think. Am I clear, Peter?
Yeah, thank you for that. And just to compare with the, let's say, conifers, because they are also in some way checking you if you are the right person to tell you everything, like Tuya, and some paranoid, let's say, typologies, which are really paranoid to everybody, not only to people around, but also to therapists.
I think it's a very good question again, Pedro. My best compliment. I mean, it's different in the sense that I totally agree with you, saying that both natrums, generally speaking, and salt of natrums, generally speaking, and conifers, generally speaking, are one of the most deep patients of our literature, and the one which are really testing you a lot in order to understand if they can really open themselves to this connection, to this experience, to these relationships. But in my opinion, there is a difference. What is more important for the salts of natrum is to find out someone with which I could have an intimate connection, something extremely emotional about who is me as a person. In the case of the conifers, it is something more sophisticated, much less emotional, and much more in the direction of what is the sense of life. Mm-hmm. I hope that I can be clear enough. If you think about Tuya, for example, which you mentioned, not by chance, many very good South American authors, even in our material America, is clearly described how much Tuya prematurely, even as a child, is asking for the sense of God, for the sense of living, for the sense of your existence. Usually, the most of conifers, in my experience, are really prematurely old in the sense that they ask to themselves something which commonly belongs to a person which is much older, which is really something very, we could say, spiritual. Hello? Can you hear me?
Now.
Sorry. Something happened and I was disconnected for a while. I was saying that in the case of those conifers, the main issue is to try to understand the sense of life, is to try to give an explanation to reason why you exist. Is something, for that reason, we could say, much more spiritual. I hope it's clear what I mean.
Yeah, so they want you as therapist to give them the answer for this question, or is that it?
Exactly. So I think, this is my experience, that the stance of testing the therapist is try to see if you are at the same level of understanding, if you are at the same level of interest in what is the meaning of life. This is the reason why, in my understanding, some authors can describe Tuya like a very superficial patient, as someone very chaotic and someone who is not that able to clearly say what they think. I think it's like this because if the relationship between Tuya and the doctor, according to Tuya, is not deep enough, they very formally remain on their own, and it's enough. They close it. They know that I cannot go that deep with you. Okay? So they can have a complete different attitude, which is formal, which is covering up who really I am, because I don't feel really understood in depth by this doctor. But, I repeat, it's much less an issue of who I am as a person. It's much less emotional in the case of Tuya and the other conifer. I repeat, it's much more about something very distant from who we are as a person. It's more an issue of who we are as a spirit, of what is much more important beyond this life. Okay? Am I clear, Peter?
Yeah, now it's more clear. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your question. It was very interesting and very accurate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other question? Barbara, let me see if I can give you the microphone.
Yes.
Okay, Barbara, you can talk now.
Yes. Would you mind explaining a bit more about this fire? Because I had a look on the repertory, and neither on the delusion fire nor mind fire, I didn't find any of the natrums listed.
Okay. Some of this is coming from my personal additions. Some of this is coming from some other kind of symptoms. This material will be sent, if you want, Barbara.
Yes.
But it's, let me see, sorry, if I can try in this moment to find out something in my computer. Anyway.
What I mean, is it a symbolical way of talking about fire in the...
It's a very symbolical way of talking
or
about
the,
fire.
Do the persons really talk about fire?
Yes. In my opinion, my experience, more in my opinion, this is not an opinion, it's an experience, is this idea, this specific idea of the fire, which means the idea of something warm, little, intimate, a very special place that I can share only with the very few intimate and good and deep friends. Something like this. Am I clear?
Yes.
So try to imagine the beautiful atmosphere when you want to be very romantic and you set a fire on overnight on Palm Beach, you know, over a beautiful beach or a little forest or something like this. It's really creating a kind of aggregation of two souls. It's creating a kind of aggregation of people that in front of this beautiful element of nature can share important and very intimate issue of themselves. It sounds like this.
Thank you.
We'll do my best to give you to send you the symptoms from the literature so you can see what is also reported by other colleagues. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Barbara. Any other questions? Irene.
So much about
Sorry, you can talk now, Irene. Tell me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not sure about natrium pomatum. You said it's more about the father than about the mother, but is it also the absence of the father or just the ideal of the father that I can't reach?
Okay. I wanted to say that in my experience, the idea, the symbol of an unreachable father is very strong, more or less, in all the souls of Brahmin. So the idea that you are a victim of the issue that you would have liked to overcome your father, to reach his ability, his power, his position, and you were not able, is, in my opinion, a typical problem for the most of the souls of Brahmin. Okay? So in my experience, in comparison to the other souls of Natrum, where usually you can feel an evident presence of the female motherish element, which in some way tried to be in contact with you, but was not at the level of your expectation. In the end, in the most of the other Natrums, you have the impression that this image of the male power of the father, the symbolical father, is more or less missing. In the case of Natrum bromatum, as in the case of Natrum sulfuricum, the image of the father is much more mentioned, is much more present. But in the specific case of Natrum bromatum, the idea is that this father is unreachable. So there is this presence upon you, and there is this tragedy that there is no way to even try to resemble like he was. Okay? It is always an example that is crushing you down. It's always an example which never allows you to reach him. It's an example which is unreachable, is untouchable in some way.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Natrum sulfuricum, it's similar in the sense that Natrum sulfuricum too usually is more typically talking about the image of the father, is much more typically talking about the meaning, the importance of this important man, and they know that they cannot reach and overcome their father, but they behave as if they are even better than him. So usually those kind of souls of sulfur, we will talk about that more in depth in another conference if you are interested, behave as if they could be like this. It's a kind of a false appearance, is what I call, even if it's different from the real psychology, a false self, a false appearance. Is someone who knows that I'm not like this, but I claim, I behave, I sell myself as if I could be that good. Am I clear?
Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Irene. Thank you. Any other question? So, Irene and Peter, if you don't mind, you should take away your hand. Otherwise, I don't understand if you have another question or if it was enough for you. Please. Other questions? Is there anybody else? Okay. I hope it was interesting, and I hope it was useful. This was just an example of how it could be. I hope that I didn't choose something too complicated and too difficult. This is what I like to discuss about. This is what I like to talk about. I know that the great majority of you are not students, but you are expert homeopaths, so I feel that I can talk freely of what they really like and enjoy to talk about. I hope it doesn't look to you too much philosophical or too much psychological. Anyway, I'm very open to listen eventually to your suggestion, if I can do anything better in order to make this kind of conferences even nicer for you. And I really would like to thank you a lot for your participation. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I hope to see you in the other conferences. It was really, really, believe me, a real pleasure to share with you this kind of information. Thank you so much, and my best wishes for Christmas.
Okay, ciao. And also, let me add one more thing. You know, I had trouble reaching Europeans, so if you want to let your friends know about this, just pass on the emails that I've sent to you. So, anyway, yes, Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays.
Okay. Grazie, and please again, even if you cannot clap your hands, please, I want to say in front of everybody a big, big, big thanks to Betty for what she's doing. Thank you so much, Betty.
Thank you.
Grazie. Have a good night and have a very good Christmas and Happy New Year. Ciao. Oh. I have to close the recording.
The ball.
Okay.
Good night.